Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. All right, it's time for B-A-Q-A. Okay. I can't believe I'm doing it. I feel embarrassed.
I love it.
B-A-Q-A.
Q-A.
B-A-Q-A.
Q-A. Okay. All right, I'll back you up. All right.
Thank you for that. We have Delian Bados from Slaying the Stock Market and Delian the Money Coach joining us on BA Q&A this week. Delian, thank you so much for sticking around and taking some questions from our BA fam.
Yes, let's hear them.
All right. And just a reminder, if you guys want to ask us a question, you can go to our IG, send us a DM. We're at Brand Ambition Podcast on IG, or hit us up on our email, brandambitionpodcast@gmail.com. All right, let's get into it. We have a couple of juicy questions. The first one, I think Delian and I both feel deep in our hearts, comes from an anonymous listener who says, I really need your help. I can't seem to stop impulse buying. I'm shopping on Amazon multiple times a week. I'm always checking out with PayPal, which has my Amex linked to it, and my credit card is on food apps like Panera and Starbucks. I feel like I always have access to cash. Every month, I'm accumulating like $700 to $900 in credit card debt and pay it off only to end up in more debt the next month. I just want to save my money and buy a house or invest. Thank you for reading this and helping me out. Oh, man. This was me in the beginning of the pandemic. Amazon,
I feel it.
One-click shopping. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. There's a reason to make it easy.
Yep.
So what do you have to say to this listener, this dear, dear impulse buying?
Yeah. First of all, don't beat yourself up, because the marketing machine is very real and it's very powerful. So you are not like, you know, a failure, or there's not something wrong with you because you can't just seem to resist the ads, because they are powerful. And I totally get that. I used to do this too when I had insomnia. I had terrible insomnia and I would wake up in the middle of the night, and just like you, all of my credit cards were saved to my phone. So it was very, very easy to shop while I was, you know, unable to sleep. And then packages would arrive in my house and I didn't even remember what I ordered. It was, you know, a problem that was spiraling out of control. And the only way that I was able to solve that is by taking the credit cards off the phone. I had to stop. And also I had to get new card numbers because it was so bad to the point where I had memorized my credit card numbers. Okay. When you know your 16-digit credit card number, that's how you know you may have a problem. So I had to get new cards, take the numbers off my phone. And then also I had to ask myself, what is triggering this? It's just like anything else, like food or anything else that you're like overdoing. What is triggering this? What is the emotion that's happening here? What am I feeling before and after I make these purchases? And you really have to have that moment of truth with yourself and be like, am I trying to fill a void? Am I bored? Am I sad? Is this how I celebrate happiness? Is this how I celebrate anything? And really start understanding what's the underlying emotion that's driving this behavior, because I can teach you how to make a spreadsheet all day long. I can talk to you about the you know, the opportunity cost of like the money that you're wasting that should be invested in the stock market. I can talk your head off about that all day long, but that's not going to get down to like the emotional trigger that's causing this behavior.
Yeah, it's all about the mindset too, and it's and exactly that trigger. And it's about what is your – so for me, it being – I suffer from impulse control when it comes to eating. I have my whole life. And for me, it's about – you know, am I setting myself up to be successful or am I setting myself up to make choices that I just beat myself up for later? You know what I mean? And for me, it looks like maybe don't purchase the foods that you know will trigger, or maybe make sure that you're getting a good night's sleep so that you're not tired, cranky, and upset later, and taking care, have a nap. You know what I'm saying? Have a nap so that you're not, we talked about naps in the last week, but have a nap so you're not so haggard and tired that you, you know, you try to cure yourself with like iced coffee with tons of sugar in it. I love your tip to remove your credit cards. And I want to address the part of this question where they're asking about, you know, I just want to save my money and buy a house or invest. So here's my trick for that. I personally, because I struggle with this too, I wouldn't focus so much on the things that you're buying that are taking you away from those goals. What I think you should do is treat your investing and your saving almost like a credit card bill. So make it a bill that you pay to yourself and automate that ish. Like that is the way that I have, you know, gotten to where I have financially by not worrying so much about how much I'm spending on groceries each month or eating out on, you know, DoorDash or Uber Eats or whatever, but how just making sure that I automatically am saving and investing each month so that even if I have a slip up, quote unquote, here and there, I can still rest easy knowing I'm still in the market. Like I'm still investing automatically because I know myself enough to know if I have to manually do it, I may not make the wisest choice if it comes between me or, you know, that special, the new wardrobe that I'm looking for, the new gadget or whatnot. So can you get to a place where you have paid off your credit card debt, okay? Keep it, delete your credit cards from Amazon and all these apps. Keep it, you know, get all your plastic off, like Delianne has said, and then let a month go by where you actually don't have credit cards and then set up some automatic payments and start paying yourself automatically. And maybe with the knowledge that the money ain't going to be there for your credit card, that will help you think twice before you actually, you know, make those impulse purchases.
Yeah, I want people to think about credit cards. It's not anything evil, first of all. It's there's no morality tied to credit cards. It's a tool just like, it's just a tool just like anything else, but it's also a privilege to be able to use a credit card. And if you're abusing the privilege, then let's take it away for a minute. Let's reassess the system. And then we can always reintroduce credit cards down the line. It doesn't mean that you can never, ever use a credit card again. I'm a huge fan of using credit cards, but I also pay it off 100% and I don't let my credit cards derail me from my other goals.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, are you guilty? I like to, when I was a kid, we would go window shopping. Like literally we'd just like go to some major, you know, downtown Atlanta or whatever, to the mall and just look in stores, try things on, not buy anything. And for me, I still get kind of like the endorphin release when I go onto, you know, one of my favorite brands websites and just fill up a cart. Yep. I fill up a cart and I'm like, wow, that's $2,000. I'll come back to it. If I really want it, I'll come back to it. I have so many abandoned online shopping carts. And that's as far as I let it go late night when I wake up at like 2 and Instagram serves me an ad for some like sleep, some loungewear that I've been wanting to try. Damn, those ads. You said it, the marketing.
They are shit. So powerful.
They're so good and terrible. But that's what I like to do. I put like a 72-hour time on it. If I put it in my cart and in 72 hours, I still care and I go back to it, most of the time I forget. I can't even tell you what I was shopping on at 2 a.m. this morning.
I would say 24 hours, honestly. 24 hours, you're going to completely forget it.
Exactly. And I think I need it. And that has helped me a lot to just not just put it in your cart and come back to it later. But I love you for asking this question, for admitting it, because I know for a fact you are not alone.
No, 100% not.
At all. All right, BA fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brown Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost worked there a couple of times because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? lounge access wherever you go next. Make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Okay, thank you for your question. Let's go to number two. And just as a reminder, me and Deliann, we're your financial girlfriends today. We are not your financial advisors or financial advisors in general. So take what we are saying with a huge handful of salt, as I like to say, not just a grain, a whole handful. And just know that it's hard for us to give specific advice because we don't know every little detail about you. So with that caveat, and as Deliann says, like, don't sue us. Or if you do, please direct those to Deliann. She's the attorney here, like not me. Not me. All right, number two. This is from a listener named Laura who says, I've worked in nonprofits for years and recently started a government job with a pension. I opted into the full pension plan and I have plans to stay in government work until I retire at 55, which is in 27 years. Assuming the world doesn't catch fire by then, I mean, isn't it literally catching fire right now though? I should have about 70 to 100K a year from my pension. I'm currently contributing $50 a month toward my Roth IRA, but I plan to start maxing it out for 2022 and beyond. I also plan to contribute to my deferred compensation plan in 2022, which is like my government's 401k. I should be out of credit card debt by December 2021, thank God, and have my car set to be paid off by 2023. My question is, am I doing too much with the retirement money? I want to lean into enjoying my money now, but I want to be mindful about my future as well. I would love your thoughts. So this was a beefy one. Let me back up and reread a couple things. So what she's asking is she's got $50 a month going into her Roth. She's going to start maxing that out. She's also putting money into her 401k through her government job. She's going to pay off her credit card debt and have her car paid off by in 2 years from now. But is she
has a pension?
She has a pension coming her way. Is she over saving for retirement? Is there such a thing, Deliann? Like, what do you think?
There is such a thing. I'm not going to say there isn't such a thing. When people ask this question, it usually means that they don't have a goal in mind. Am I doing too much? Am I doing enough? If you don't know if you're on track, that means that you haven't decided what the track is. Like, where are you heading? And so this is where people tend to spend more money than they should because they don't have any direction for where their money should be going, right? So if you think you're investing enough, you're like, oh, I can spend more. But if you're not investing enough, then you're going to fall short at the end. Now, I understand this person has a pension, which is a unique situation. Most people don't have access to a pension. So should you still be investing, you know, quote unquote, aggressively, even if you have a pension? Yes, because like she said, she's 27 years away from collecting on that pension. A lot can change in 27 years, right? You can change jobs, the pension, something could happen. Pensions are not 100% guaranteed. I know a lot of people think they are, but some of them sometimes are mismanaged and you don't get the payout that you thought you were going to get. Yep. So you cannot count on it 1,100%. You know, you have to have a backup plan. So I'm happy to hear that you're investing in other vehicles as well. And also, what if you decide that you want to retire early, right? Then the pension is not going to be an option for you because you have to stay. So I'm glad to hear that you're investing in these other accounts. Like I said, if you don't know if you're investing enough, then it means that you don't know what your financial independence number is. So that's the first thing you need to do. The formula for financial independence is your annual expenses times 25. That is a guideline. It is not like live and die by it, but is a guideline for you to start. It's like a back of the napkin type of number. But start with that number and then work your way backwards. Okay, well, let's say, you know, it was your annual expenses are $40,000 a year. 40 times 25 is going to be $1 million. So you need $1 million invested. Now you want to work backwards. Well, how much do I need to invest per month to reach $1 million by X age? Because it's also about how fast you want to hit that number. Some people don't care. They're like, oh, I can wait 20, 25 years to get to it. And some people are like, no, I want to hit it in like 10 years. Obviously, that's going to look very different, right? Depending on what you want. So I would say find out what your financial independence number is, work your way backwards, and then you'll have a better sense of, you know, how fast do I need to be moving here with my investing?
Yeah, I think that's really wise. And I have also found myself in the exact position you're in, Laura, and I've got about a decade on you. So don't feel bad at all. You're about to, if I'm doing my own math, she said she's going to retire at 55, which is in 27 years. So she's in her early 20. Wait, early 30?
I think she's like my age.
She's like, right? Yeah, yeah.
45. No, she's 35. She's like 30s, early 30s.
We're both so bad at math.
I know. This is why I went to law school.
No, she's 28. She's 28,
Delia. Oh, she's exactly when I started, 28.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So you, yeah, amazing. Now, listen, here's my thought. It is, now that we've got the really difficult question, how old are you, out of the way? My thing is, it sounds like you're not enjoying your money, or maybe you don't have enough left over after all these goals are met to feel like you're enjoying it. So I would always carve out some of your budget. And it sounds like you're doing really well financially. You're going to pay off your car and you have some credit card debt. You're going to pay that off. You know, how are you spending money on things that you enjoy and pouring into yourself? And do it really mindfully. You can't do all the things because you still have your goals in mind, right? But is there one thing a month or a week that will bring you joy that makes you feel like I am enjoying the fruits of my labor now because YOLO, like you only live once, right?
True.
My next thing is you're only 28 and I like to be really aggressive younger. You have time on your side now. If you just double down and remember that, like you, I don't know anything else. Like, do you have a family, you have kids, you're in a relationship, whatever, what your future is going to be like. But I was never, it's so much easier when you can only think about yourself. I cannot even tell you. Like Delianne, look at the glow she has. Look at that. She's got a dog.
When you're single and no kids.
You know, just like it's a choice, Delianne, that you made and I did not. And you know, I'm not going to say I regret it. But like, you know what I mean? Like, you look really well rested. I'm kidding. Like, messing. But listen, like, there is. Oh, and who's calling me now? It's my, speaking of my husband. No, but when you are just making decisions for yourself, that is the time I feel like you really want to double down and be excited to be able to pour so much money into your investments. And you're doing so many amazing things and you're so far ahead, I feel like, of a lot of people your age, that why not, you know, capitalize on this time now? And who knows? I know you seem pretty dead set on working for the government and another 27 years, but that's a long time, Laura.
Yep.
You don't know what could happen. Maybe if you start investing now, you may not have to go the full, like, forget the pension. Can I say that? Like, maybe you could make more than the pension.
100%.
I'm kind of talking to my husband right now because he works for the government and he loves to say he has a pension. And I'm like, maybe you could quit and then you would have even more than a pension. But
there,
anyway, that's for our financial therapist, a couple therapists to work through. But I would just say that, you know, I think when you're young in your 20s, you know, living for yourself and only yourself, that is when you really would double down. So I think you're doing, you know, totally the right thing. But just, you know, whatever, find the thing that you value that brings you joy and invest in that and consider that investment in your own mental health and your happiness, because that matters too.
100%. I mean, I think investing is about extending a life that you already love so much. You're building the life that you love. And the whole point of investing is like, I want to maintain this lifestyle for as long as possible. That's what people don't realize. They're like, oh, why do I want to save and invest so that I can enjoy my life when I'm 60? No. You're thinking about it the wrong way. It's build the life that you love right now, today. And then you want to continue that so you don't have to downgrade when you hit your 60s and 70s, right? That is not a cute look, to have to budget and cut coupons when you're that old, when you're really going to need all the comforts in life, right? Like in your 20s and your 30s, you can rough some things. But when you're in your 60s, you don't want to be roughing it in your 60s and 70s. That is not cute.
You want the most expensive mattress they sell.
Yes.
You want the most comfiest shoes. Like, you want first class baby on the flight.
There you go. Delianne,
like, what are the, you mentioned on, if you haven't listened to Wednesday's show where I talked to Delianne more in depth about her story, I think on that show you talk about how you know, you do spend time on yourself and doing things that you love, like traveling. But what are some things that, you know, really bring you joy that you say that you know, have the most value for you as far as when you're going to spend money on yourself? What is that going toward?
Oh, I love, you know, my love language is like quality time. So anything having to do with like live events, making new memories in person. So obviously traveling is part of that, but I love listening to music live, comedy shows live. When I lived in New York City, I was going to a Broadway show like at least once a month. So I like to take advantage of the activities in my, I am a tourist in my own city, right? So I will do like the dorky little sailboat tours, like around the harbor. I will do all those things, you know, because I like to enjoy my city as a tourist would. I'm like, I pay a lot of money to live here. I want to enjoy it. So that, and then on a smaller scale is, I love leggings. I'm sorry, I do.
You mentioned that as if it was an entire category earlier. Thanks for bringing that up again. You're like, I buy leggings.
It's a whole thing. Okay. It is something that is just dear to my heart. I used to have a fitness account on Instagram. So I used to be a spinning instructor. I don't know if you knew that.
Okay, that is from Peloton. Yes. All right. Yes. So you should get on me for how my Peloton right now, if you can just see it, it is.
Is it collecting dust?
It's home to my moon pod, which is my we had flooding because of Hurricane Ida, Delianne. I don't know what to tell you. Okay.
If that's why, then okay.
I had to save her. So she had to reach higher ground.
Oh my gosh.
I go on a lot of walks in the summer. I don't Peloton as much in the basement because I just want to be outdoors. But give me a month when it gets really, you know how New York is, when it gets like nasty, then I will be back on the Peloton. Yes.
It's almost embarrassing that I have one in San Diego because it's so stunning here to be outside, but I love having it right here in my house.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you, Laura, for your question. And listen, I think you're on such a good right track. I think you maybe just needed us to tell you how fabulous you are and to treat yourself once in a while.
And we're happy to do that.
So happy. Thank y'all for your questions again. Hit us up, Brown Ambition Podcast on IG or brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com. And once again, go check out our girl Delianne the Money Coach on IG, I believe. Check the show notes for all of her social handles and you find out how you can enroll in her Slay the Stock Market course. And thank you again, Delianne, for joining us.
Thank you so much. This was so fun.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a PS to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the PS first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.